Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Spider-Man No Way Home spoiler cast. Alongside me is the man that is in a McDonald's drive-thru. Is there Sean Capri? How are you?
I'm always at McDonald's drive-thru. My wife is actually going to the McDonald's drive-thru right now. She's going to be coming and joining us in a couple minutes with a fresh beverage for me. And I love her very much for that.
And can I say, because, you know, this is only audio, you look very comfortable.
I look like Kenny from South Park right now. Because I've got the headphones, like the big giant cans over my ears. But on top of that is this big fluffy hoodie. And Kenny was like the original, like, Animal Crossing mumbling, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, sounds like Isabel. Oh. Yeah.
Wow, that's really good.
I've been practicing. Thanks. Yeah. See, I can do voices too, Joe. You're not the only one that can do voices. I can do...
That's really, like... Lincoln honestly, loves we it. Should... Yeah, we should call the Nintendo representatives.
Yeah.
And get them on the line.
Send the tape. Send the tape to them. Yeah. Put this on a cassette tape.
Alongside us as well, Andrew Semichek.
Thwip, thwip, mofos. Yeah.
Does that webbing come out of your arms?
Oh, that was so...
That's weird.
God. All right. Oh. So here it is. Again, spoilers for Spider-Man No Way Home. I want to first, before we get into the heavy spoiler stuff, I want to go through the room. How'd you like this movie?
I cried.
How many times? Three for me.
I actually didn't cry. I just got very happy.
I was shaking because I was trying not to cry. And I was like, oh, the teenagers next to me can see me crying, but I'm trying not to cry. And it's like, I'm so exhausted. I'm thinking of Bobby. And oh, man.
So I'm going to show you guys for the first cry scene. We won't go into it just yet. But this is me in the theater when the first one happened.
Fetal position.
You know, people around me are like, you know, I don't think they understood, because I was having flashbacks to the Insomniac game.
Ooh, I want to know what part this is.
Yeah, let's jump into it. Like, this is a spoiler cast. We are last chance. Get the hell out if you don't want to be spoiled about Spider-Man, Spooderman.
Swing that door out the window.
Get out. Then come back after you're, you know, done watching the movie. Yeah,
exactly.
So for me, it was the May death scene.
Yeah.
Is that just the Spider-Man video game, like that, I was, you know, babbling like a brook for that for 20 minutes, and then did it again, and I'm like, no, not again, for the love of God, no, not again, May.
Yeah. For me, I love this movie, and there, to me, I'm like, wow, this is 10 out of 10 Marvel. Like, I really...
Wow.
It's perfection. It really is.
It really
is. Okay. Like,
you know, I'm not as much a cinema a guy. I'm not of a cinema... Yeah. I'm not saying this is Citizen Kane.
Yeah, we're not cinephiles here. We're just nerds.
Just average Joes that know a thing or two about video games that are totally out of their element here, just in our feelings.
Sure,
I really, 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 really... Like, this is a top-tier Marvel film.
It's the best Spider-Man movie. It's the, you know, like, same thing with me.
Well, let's settle down with that.
Tom Holland is just so lovable. I just love him. I love MJ. I love that guy who hangs around them. The casting is so great. And I think the reason I'm kind of like holding off on like, is this the best movie of all time? Is like, it reminds me of some characters that I don't really care about. And by that, I mean like some of the villains. I don't care about a lot of the villains who are in this. And I'm glad that they played it's amazing because they're such a huge part of the movie. But they're not the biggest part of the movie, and it's actually it's that discipline that they had in the movie that actually made it work for me. Yes. It was more about everything else, actually. There's like, what, five villains in this thing, and somehow it's not about them, which is great.
I think part of it, too, depends on how much you've invested in the previous Spider-Man movie. So if you haven't really seen the last five Spider-Man movies, it doesn't have as much of an impact as if you're just coming in watching the MCU versions of Spider-Man. Because, these two older guys are coming in, whoopity-doo, who, you know, if you don't really know, but like for us,
that's true.
You know, like, we grew up watching the film. So like, we got to get that extra payoff. It's like, for me, it's like, you know, I'm just going to put this as a quick aside, Ghostbusters Afterlife. Like, that was fan service. And this is, you know, once again, Sony just providing this, the fan service of, hey, these are the old school guys kind of handing off the baton to the next generation and kind of just giving that extra payoff there.
It's also a great sense of the one critique that I've had and many that are the harsher Tom Holland critics is it seems like Spider-Man's in the MCU. It's not like, you know, this is a Spider-Man movie, if that makes any sense. It's like they have to remind you that the MCU is this large universe and Spider-Man only plays a little part where, you know, previous Spider-Man movies, it's all about Spider-Man. It's all about his mm-hmm. his rogues gallery. And, you know, it's always at center stage. So what I really liked what they did here was the first 40 minutes is a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And it's following the similar beats. And then right when you hit Octavius and in that first fight scene, things start turning.
That's a good into, point.
This yeah. is now centralized Spider-Man. Once yeah. they get Strange out of the film, which he's not bad one bit, it becomes straight up, this is a Spider-Man origin movie. And mm-hmm. you didn't know that this was it, but it is him becoming an adult.
Yeah.
It's letting go of his childhood. And for that, it is now whatever the future holds for Tom Holland and his Spider-Man. This is now we're going to see that finally mature Peter that I think fans have been wanting to see from Tom.
So Kevin Feige had an interview that just came out about 2 hours ago that confirmed Spider-Man 4 is already in the works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to be ridiculous not to keep this going.
Of course, Tom Holland wants to settle down and start a family, but, you know, no time for that, man.
So how do we do this? Because all I know, Sean, he's like, we got to talk about this. Got to talk about this movie.
How can you not? How can you? Like, there is a lot to kind of dissect here. I'm just kind of like feeling all the feelings. Tom Holland, I just adore this guy.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how, you know, all the Spideys are in there. And I'm just like, well, this is clearly the right one. Like Tom, like I love seeing Andrew Garfield. I love seeing Tobey Maguire. I was actually surprised at how much I liked seeing Tobey Maguire. I felt like they did him right. And it seemed like I don't know why, like it feels like he got some sort of like weird redemption mm-hmm. out of this. Because I mean, the last thing we saw him was in a bad Spider-Man movie. And now we get to see him in a good Spider-Man movie.
I mean, same with Andrew Garfield, right?
Andrew Garfield got an excellent redemption, by the way. Excellent. Yes, he did.
And I love when they're all down, like they're all in the Statue of Liberty. And he's like, yeah,
I'm coming. All right. As soon as everybody's up high, you know it's coming. And as MJ is falling, it's not a slow motion. Okay.
It's not just that. It's when they're all together and he's just like, yeah, I'm just all right. And they're like, no, dude, you're amazing.
You're amazing. Stop it. Yeah. Yeah. You're amazing. Like
remember that at the end of the day, these are good movies. You're a good settle. You're good Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I really like that. And yeah, he does get his redemption arc with MJ falling.
So as MJ is falling, right, she's falling and then Tom's about to save, or Spider-Man number one is about to save her. He gets knocked away and she's like, oh no, I'm really in trouble now. And then Andrew Garfield goes, Spider-Man number three goes after her. And somebody in the crowd, like three or four rows above me, goes, second chances.
Yeah.
It was so perfect. Like as if it was like scripted and as part of the movie. It was such a great experience. And I don't know about you guys, but like I went last night, it was 10:30 at night. It was basically first day, first chance for anybody to see this movie. And every time a new Spider-Man showed up, or anytime, like basically we've just got a whole movie full of cameos, speaking of fan service, claps. Mm-hmm. Applause, dude, all the thing.
People
the way
got
they
out of their chairs when they saw Matt Murdock in my theater.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, felt good. It felt so good. It's like, oh man, you're really peak, like your peak Marvel shows, and this is so great that you're here now.
It was funny too because I actually like when Tobey Spider-Man got stabbed, I jumped out of my seat. I was like, no. You know, because I'm like, you can't do this to me. You can't like redeem him and then kill him in the same movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So first question is, how did you guys like pretty much the skeleton of this movie, or like the concept of there really isn't one villain? Like there's no mastermind here. It really is the premise is, hey, these villains are seeping out because of a cursed or a botched spell. It really is what they said in the trailer.
Yeah, which right? I kind of like, do. How do you, let's talk about that. What do you think about that as a premise?
Well, Exactly.
It was okay.
Let's get right into it.
I mean, like the broken, the busted spell. Like the Doctor Strange is going to do this thing, which seems kind of risky. And then he's like, don't mess with me. Like, I feel like if you wanted to, you could pick, just like we talked about with Halo. Yeah. If you wanted to, you could really pick apart some pretty gaping kind of plot holes or problems with the movie. And yes. If you just want to go in and go, I want to see all my Spider-Man stuff and see all my favorite like guys come back and a lot of fan service, then you're going to have a good time. But if you're really going to like look at it and go, what is wrong with Strange in this? Yeah. Like, I don't think right. he's very likable, and I don't think he seems even very capable. Like, I there's a lot of issues I have with him, but I kind of have to throw that out of the way in order to have a good time with it. And that's just, I think, a choice that I personally made.
I Same think here. That is the choice to make. They're like, hey, yeah. listen, we're about to do this. It is flimsy, but if you're...
Flimsy is a good word.
If you're along with it, this is going to be a fun journey type
yep.
of thing.
Yep.
Because a part of me, when that spell was breaking down, I'm like, oh, wait, maybe this is intersecting with Loki because the cosmic.
Yes, the timeline.
Yeah, I was like, okay, maybe this is happening.
I have theories about that. If we're going to talk about that, because we're going to talk about the trailer at the end with the post-credits scene.
Yeah.
I think Strange kind of came off as that uncle that wants to be the cool uncle, but then has to be strict. So he kind of keeps changing from like, you can call me Steve, but then no, call me Sir. Yeah. No, you can call like, and it's like that constant back and forth. But it's like I'm okay with that because like May wasn't that dynamic in this one. Happy wasn't that dynamic in this
May one. May seemed like she got taken down a notch or two, and like she doesn't seem that smart. She didn't seem like that like with it. I don't know. Like she seemed kind of loopy.
I kind of agree. I think that because I think the whole thing with Happy and her kind of breaking up was like it kind of felt odd. And then you add to it that May is kind of the whole. Center for why this whole thing ends up happening is Peter tries to redeem her.
Yeah.
Peter is trying to redeem these people because she says everybody deserves a second chance.
Yeah.
And without her saying that, everyone would have gone off without a hitch. And, you know, everybody would have gone back. They've all would have died. You know, we wouldn't have seen Toby. We wouldn't have seen Andrew. So really she wouldn't have said anything, you know, everything kind of would have been copacetic.
Yeah. If she just shut her dang mouth,
hit the button.
More people be alive, including her. I'm just saying. Would have
just made Peter a sandwich instead that's of right. opening her mouth.
That's but right. She gets, but she had to go woke, and that's why she went broke.
Oh my God! She gets two great moments though. Like she really gets to like give Peter that moment to go. No, like this is what you do. You give people a second. Like you don't just hit a button. You don't take the easy road. So she gets that, and then she gets her Uncle Ben moment. Yeah, even when she's hurt, and I was like, she gets hit, and I'm like, there's no way she's surviving that.
Yeah,
and
what a fucking fake out.
Well, she gets up, and I was like, she's doesn't even know where she is right now. Like you could kind of there's a bit of a tell. Like I don't know that it was really all that surprising, but then Tom and actually Andrew Garfield in the last movie did it as well. Like they sell these moments so hard, man. Like the pain that they feel, and also at when he was going to fade away, when he was going to get snapped, he had that fear that just like, I don't know, man, like that's something that is new. I think in comic book movies that only a few of the characters really can pull off, I think. And I really like that was May's death was actually less like in and of itself. Wasn't that bad. It was how it impacted Peter that got me. Like, that's really what got me in that moment.
Absolutely. That's, you know, it's like I saw like when she's like standing up to Green Goblin, I was like, oh fuck, this is it. She's this is her Obi-Wan moment. And then right when I saw the glider, I literally audibly went, oh no.
Yeah. Oh, same here. Same here.
And when it hit her, I was like, fuck.
Yeah. I was like, she's done.
And then when she got up, I was like, okay, oh, awesome. But yeah, there's this moment. I'm like, oh no. This is adrenaline.
Yeah.
Oh, she's fucked.
Yeah.
And sadly, not by me. Oh, but like, yeah, when she dies, I get it. Inappropriate timing to say that, you know, Marissa Tomei could get it. But that with, you know, great, was it great responsibility?
With great power comes great responsibility. Yeah.
That like, and then she just topples over. I'm like, oh, so this is the moment. And that's where this movie truly is. Like, this is the origin movie because we've never seen him, you know, really struggle. We've seen it off screen when we're introduced to him in Civil War, but like, we haven't seen it. So that moment is the coin flip of like, this is when
Iron Man, I think when Iron Man died, like, I think Tom Holland's had a couple like really emotional really scenes. Moments. Yeah. I think he's, and I think that's why like in this movie, he kind of gets that moment where he's like, I'm done. I'm so, mm-hmm. I'm just going to beat the living shit out of this guy. Cause I am absolutely snapping. And the way that they kind of like teach each other all these moments, like, don't be like me. I also lost hope. I don't want that to happen to you. Like, it all actually, like, there's actually a lot of cleverness to this that mm-hmm. just really were, even the, that's what Uncle Ben said when he died, on the day he died. It's like, oh, it's so good. And of course they wrote it that way, but it just seems so cosmic still. Like, it still landed for me.
Yeah. Like, I think it was interesting too, because, you know, you had hints in Civil War where Peter's talking to Stark, and because he mentioned like there was an event that happened to spur him into being Spider-Man. We all thought, okay, it's the Uncle Ben thing. Ben's not in this movie. Like, he's not in the MCU at all, which I found was
good one. Good point.
And like, for Peter, May was his rock. Like, she was always the person that no matter what happened, because Stark wasn't there forever. MJ hasn't been there. Like, it's Ned and May. Like, those are the two. And he lost both of them in this movie, but he watched, you know, May die in his arms. I think that takes a different goal than watching somebody you looked up to as a mentor and possibly even a friend at the end die saving the world. I mean, like, that, like, May was, you know, who he, what, if it wasn't for May, he wouldn't be who he is.
Yeah. She's his moral compass. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there is like this thing of like even with her plan, I'm like, in my head, I am with Strange. It's like, dude, there are only four guys. Come on, mm-hmm. let's do it. Let's kill him. Let's axe him. But like, she's just like, no, everybody does deserve a second chance. Everybody does deserve, if we can fix them, we should. And I like that, because yeah, that is Spider-Man. Spider-Man doesn't give up or take the easy road, mm-hmm. which is like, yeah, let's just like kill these guys.
It's very comic booky. Like, yeah, like, that's not like, there's a couple moments where I'm like, if this were like a movie or even some of the other MCU movies, like, they're still kind of grounded. But in terms of the way characters were introduced or reintroduced in some cases and some of the motivations, like, sometimes you just got to turn the page and go like, I guess this is the story that we're on. Like, that's the kind of, like, it really reminded me of that. I don't know if that makes any sense, Andrew, but like, that's kind of just, it seemed like motivations were a little bit, I think, Joe, you said the word flimsy. I think that really holds true. Like, do you mm-hmm. really want to like just give these guys another chance? Like, that, it seems weird. It seems, but it's not grounded really in much other than, yeah, she represents like a good sort of archetype.
Right. And I mean, she doesn't even realize like Green Goblin is a serial killer. Like, he's killed tens of people in Tobey Maguire's movies. I mean, Doc Ock, you know, didn't kill as many people, but I mean, like, you have these people that, you know, took lives of multiple people, and you really can't necessarily redeem a lot of those people. If at all, honestly, in certain situations. And
I think the most irredeemable is Electro.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, he was.
He's just like, yeah, now I'm hot. So zip, zap, zoop.
He's also the least, I think he's the least appealing part of the movie.
Yes. Yeah. I think what bummed me out too was that we didn't get any villains from Tom Holland's universe. Like, I would have loved to see Vulture. I would have loved to see Mysterio pop up again, you know, because it felt very much like, okay, we're getting these callback villains, but why don't we have any of his villains or introduce a new villain from his universe into this movie? Because it's all, you know, I know it's all fan service and I don't hate that, but it also just felt like he was fighting figments of, he was chasing ghosts instead of actually fighting somebody that he had to deal with in his universe that he would have to maybe deal with again later on, or, you know, become a recurring issue. Like, I was hoping Venom would be that thing maybe down the line. But as we saw, that was just kind of a, hey, whoopsies.
Yeah. Thank God.
Dude, they couldn't have put another quarter of a character into this movie.
Yeah.
Like, when you really think about it, it's only because I think that they figured out some sort of model with the Avengers movies that they can cram this many characters into an actual film in books and everything else in TV shows that sort of works. But it's been, I think historically it's been really kind of a disaster. You look at like X-Men, like how many characters are in there and they don't really get a chance to either shine or matter or anything. And such, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in this movie. Like you said, Joe, like, you can really start to chop this up and divide it up. And it's like, what is it about? Like, who is it about? There's probably about three or four answers to all those questions.
Oh, for sure. And I think a lot of the characters too, like, I think Dafoe and Alfred Molina had played better roles here than they did in their original Raimi movies.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And I, like, think that just comes with how, you know, cinema has gone
for sure
from the past, you know, decade or so.
Just watching like Dafoe like literally tear into Peter and like power bombing him through floors.
Dude.
I was like, that's a goblin bomb if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
You know, just like ripping him apart. Yeah, like right. I had Jim Ross in my head. By God, he's broken in half. You know, like,
is James Franco canceled? Is that why he wasn't in this movie?
He had a huge falling out with Sony after not Spider-Man, but other things. And of course, there's other issues that took place too. But he was like, I fucking hate Sony. Sony can suck my, you know, all this.
Oh, that's
stuff.
Too. Like, I mean, and I feel like there's maybe something else. But yeah,
also, like rumor has it, this is gonna get dark for just a second. But he's a pedophile.
Yeah, I mean that's that too.
Yeah. And it's been recorded by multiple people that have just dropped them. Once those rumors started, apparently they asked, maybe they did or whatever. They didn't like the answer. They dropped one.
Although I would have liked to have, like, if you couldn't have that Harry in, put Dane DeHaan's Harry in there, just even as a glimpse.
I like where they left because, like, there's one scene where, you know, Peter's talking to Peter. He's like, so, like, do you have a best friend? Oh, no, it's Ned's talking to Peter. Like, so do you have a best friend? You're like, I had one. Yeah, he tried to kill me.
Yeah, exactly.
So I killed him.
It's like,
Ned plays such a great role in this, and like he always does. He is such a great sort of sidekick, and just being aware of it. And it's I loved him since the first movie, and then he steals Strange's ring, whatever, and it's so good. And of course, it lands in his, like, this is how they do this. Like, he plays such a really important role in this. He's not just a sidekick. Like, they give him Doctor Strange's portal ring thing, and then he discovers to accidentally, like, do this. And they kind of say, "Oh, my grandma says I've got the tingles and the magic." Yeah. It's so good, and that's where. Like, it still surprised you. But did it surprise you when he opens the portal and you see a Spidey over there? And like, it took me like just long enough to feel good that I'd figured it out. Yep. But it still felt like a surprise, but it was still ahead of when they actually like revealed it was Andrew Garfield.
It was the hair. I saw it. And I was like, that's not Tom Holland. I know the hair.
It's when he starts to approach the circle. It's like, oh shit, he's a bigger dude. Like, that's not who
it was. The eyes for me. It was the eyes. So like, that scene's great.
It was his
because
butt.
It was just
backside.
That scene's great because Marvel does a really great job of predicting what the audience is going to say or think in a scene that's surprising. And so, like, MJ's in disbelief for a different reason than why we're in disbelief. So she's like, crawl on the wall. Like, really? You want me to crawl on the wall? We're like, do it.
Do you have this angle? And she throws bread at him. He goes, not against bread.
Bread!
And she does it again. And he's like,
get the cobwebs in the corner. Yeah. Like, she goes to bed like this isn't like the craziest thing that's ever happened. She's like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah. That was my abuela, by the way. Shout out to Mercedes Moran in there. She killed
it. So good. And like, it was really weird too. Like, you had like Tobey Maguire's kind of Peter just kind of nonchalantly come in with just, you know, street clothes on and being like, hey guys, pizza's
here.
What
did he say? Like a cool youth pastor or whatever?
Yeah.
I was dying. Where's your suit? He's like, I'm on.
So come on. Yeah, I love that because like we're all thinking like, okay, yeah, like did they just grab him while he went to the fucking supermarket? Like, what's going on here? He's like, no, dude, I always. Have
dude, why isn't there a Black Spider-Man? No, there must be a Black Spider-Man out there somewhere. Dude, that was so good. I love. Oh, there's so many of those moments that if you're paying attention, you nerd out. You can't help but geek out.
Yeah. Even kind of going back to like, I think we all knew Toby and Andrew were going to be in the movie, but I was expecting 20 minutes most. You know, that scene where Strange is in the trailer being like, they're all coming through. I'm waiting for them to pop in, do a quick little flip and be done. They were in half the movie and they each grew and became better characters than they were in their own movies. Just by interacting with Peter and being like, and that scene where like, you know, Peter's like, you don't know what I've been through. It's like, bro, shut up right now. Like, you need to just be quiet because you don't understand. Then, you know, Toby's like, my Uncle Ben died. And then, you know, Andrew Garfield's like, I lost Gwen, and they're like, shut up, Peter. You're a child. You don't know what you're talking about. Let the grownups actually take control for a second. And I think that was kind of great because not only was it catharsis for Tom Holland's Peter, but I think they all got catharsis from each other because you had Toby saying, like, you're amazing. You're amazing. Like, don't beat yourself up. Like, you are Spider-Man. You are something else. And I made this note for myself, and I think it's a great time to bring it up, but I really had wished that we had gotten like two extra scenes of each of the characters in their own universes getting that send off. Like, I would have loved Toby's Peter walking in the door
Like in Spider-Verse.
Right. With like kissing Kirsten Dunst, MJ, and seeing this little baby May Parker, this little like toddler May Parker picking up and go, "Hey May, how you doing?" or whatever. And then you have Andrew Garfield maybe doing the right after the after scene after he beats Rhino up for the second time in Amazing Spider-Man 2 or something along those lines, but then meeting MJ, the Shailene Woodley MJ that they were supposed to have in Amazing Spider-Man 2 that got cut. Like just have her pop up and go, hey, Tiger, or something like that. Long time no see. Just having those kind of payoffs where you're kind of like, okay, they are finally going to be happy, or they finally are getting their conclusion that we never got. Like,
I wasn't clear like what fate they got. Like they sort of just waved and they got Thanos'd. You know, it's insinuated, but like to me, it wasn't like totally clear. It was also very late for me. So maybe I just missed something that was like totally obvious that they were going to be fine going back. But I agree. And maybe, but it also like helps it center around who the movie is truly about.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I think if you're having that much fan, like you have that much fan service in there, you know, give us that little last little bit, because we're not going to see another dedicated movie with those two again. I mean, unless
I know. That's the thing that kind of struck me as the movie was kind of coming to a close as well, was, oh, you don't get that all that often. Mm-hmm. Like that was a really special, it's a crossover event kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that will never happen again.
No, it's not. And you know, I was such a glutton for it as well. As the Spider-Men were all kind of coming through the portals. I was like, who else is there? Like, give me more. Like, there must be another Spider-Man to find and like come through a portal. Like, give me the cartoons, man. Like, getting 1967 cartoons coming.
Give me the Toei animation one from the 70s where he had a mecha robot and he had a power glove. Like, give me that.
Mm-hmm. I'll take anything at this point.
I really thought there was one thing I wanted to see on that I posted on Twitter of like someone just pressing their hand on Peter's like shoulder as like he's doubting himself, and then you just hearing hey, and it smiles like that. I would have fucking died.
Oh my god, yeah.
But I think for the villains and people that they didn't show, that's for an obvious reason, because they are going, like, Miles is gonna be there.
Oh yeah, you
know, Venom is going to be there, and so like they're like, we'll give you the villains you've seen so you could stop talking about them. We're going to give you now the story arcs that, A, one of them you really want to see done right, and these other villains that also deserve their due.
Yeah.
So I do love, just to go to the beginning again, where it's like it does take place right after Far From Home, where everybody's like, holy shit, you're Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and you're actually seeing it ruin his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ruin his relationship and seeing him struggle going, Oh, this is a repercussion if everybody knows.
Yeah.
And because like J. Jonah Jameson is a conspiracy theorist and whatnot, you know, he's just flame warring people, and now all in New York kind of hates him.
And selling his drugs too, his vitamins.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh man. Dude.
They're like Alex Jones. And
how immature and sort of impatient Tom Holland is in his young age, where like Dr. Strange goes like, didn't you ask for reconsideration? Like, you didn't even do, like, you thought that the next step was to brainwash the entire world, like, before just like asking them to reconsider. It's like I love those moments, man. It was really special. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because as a kid, we're irrational like
totally
that.
Totally. Mm-hmm. You know, well, and also like, what is his last like whatever timeline has been, 4, 5, 6 years? It's been like he was in space and he was part of a team with the Avengers. Like, all their callbacks and all their history was so interesting. Like, the things that were similar, but the fact that the things that make them unique in all of their different universes, I thought was really interesting as well. Like, he was part of a team and they don't actually know how to take on all these guys together. They actually had to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. That totally makes sense. They had to call each other Spider-Man 1, 2, or 3. Like, I thought that was really interesting, because that's what we need. Like, it really felt like there was a couple times I thought like, the writers knew exactly what the audience needed them to say in order to keep it all straight. Like, mm-hmm. they actually did such a good job of keeping all three Peter Parkers straight through humor and just kind of like totally out there. Like, almost like they almost broke the fourth wall. I'm like, we got you guys. We're going to sort all this out. Like, they were basically looking at the screen going like, we know this is confusing. There's three Peter Parkers. We got you. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. That scene with Andrew and Toby, they're like, where Tom's like, oh yeah, I worked on the Avengers. They were like, that's great. What are the Avengers? And it's like, oh my god, like, you're right. Yeah. Like, they don't know. They are the only superpowered person in their universe that they know of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were Sony. They don't know, they weren't allowed to know what the Avengers were.
And the one thing that I really loved was, you know, the one thing that I will have to say in a lot of the one critique I also can see, though I don't necessarily agree with it 100%, is like, oh, Tony Stark has to be involved some way, somehow, to Spider-Man. And like Electro's arc reactor, that made sense. I was like, yeah, he would want that because the energy just is so powerful. Of course he would want that.
Yeah.
And then seeing Doc Ock rip the advanced suit off of
merge it
and attach to his you know, octopus.
Totally backfiring.
Mm-hmm. And he's just like, yeah, oh, cool nanotech you got here. And he's just like kind of shrugs it off. He's and Spider-Man just beats him with his brain.
Yeah. Stop hitting yourself. Awesome. Stop hitting yourself.
Yeah. That was so awesome to see. I was just like, yeah, this is
I don't see the Iron Man like involvement as a discredit at all, actually.
No.
I feel like it gives him the rightful edge against all these characters that the other two Spider-Men didn't have. Like, you needed to have something that allowed him to actually take care of all of these villains with somewhat ease. And it was like Iron Man was the difference maker. The Stark stuff was totally the difference maker.
Oh, for sure. And I think that like now that that's kind of gone and the Stark tech is gone, I think that's going to bring him back to that street level character that
suit
we're up with. Oh my God. Yes. That suit at the end, I was so giddy. Like, I have pictures of stills that people took in theaters of the suit. And I just want to say, like, Marvel, give me that as a DLC.
I don't think I don't usually like geek out about the suit for Spider-Man. There's a couple in the game that I'm like, oh yeah, I really like that suit. But I'm like, I haven't really gotten one way or another in the past. Like, I feel like people have had very strong opinions about the suits in the past, but that one just like, it was very retro new, if that makes sense. It's classic, but it had that shine, that polish that like, it seemed like this is now 2022. Like, this is the next one.
Yeah.
My only question on that one is it going to have the animated eyes? Like, I mean, because like technically if it doesn't have tech in it, but then again, his first suit that was his own creation had movable eyes too. So maybe he'll have some kind of Stark tech that's used there. Maybe that's the only thing.
I think because, you know, he's a goddamn genius. We could just assume that, yeah, that tech's always going to be there because they need that to make his eyes emote.
He was able to keep that cup of coffee warm for days.
Yeah.
Oh, good one. The thing that, you know, at the end that we sort of are left with is nobody knows who he is. Mm-hmm. And this thought, this torture that they really go through, that he has to make this choice. He goes to talk to his friends. You guys aren't going to know who I am. It's such a fear that all of us have is that we'd wake up tomorrow. We wouldn't know. You wouldn't know who I am. And I wouldn't know who you guys are. Like, our friendships kind of go. And it crosses a threshold. It's almost like a death within a lifetime, which is so weird to wrap your head around. And my heart shattered into pieces at this point. Oh, yeah. Because I love these characters together so much. And then they put them back together at the end. They're right there. You can tell he just wants to he has something to say to her. He wants to say it. I don't even know if it would even work. Like, God knows, but it seems like there's some sort of like unknown, like there's something in her brain going or in her heart saying, I know this guy, like there's something up with this. Why am I even talking to this guy? And he just doesn't. And that's what I think actually good writing does. I wanted something to happen. I understand why they made the choice that they did with the script. And I still just went like, oh, I just want them. I just love them together so much. I love the friendship with him and Ned. It's so good.
So what did you see?
They didn't give it to me.
So I have a theory about that, but go ahead, Joe. Okay.
So my thought was on that scene, he breaks a promise to MJ.
Yes.
Where he's like, I'm going to remind you why we love each other. And when he sees her at the donut shop, and I want to really get your guys' take on it. And like, he's trying to flirt with her or whatever. And when she's like taking his order or something, she moves a piece of her hair and you see the bandage.
The Band-Aid.
And he's just like, it's in that moment. It's like, well, if you love something, you have to let it go. Mm-hmm. She's going to be really happy. If she goes to MIT, she's going to accomplish all of her dreams.
Yeah.
She's better without me.
The classic Parker trope.
Yeah.
Classic. And that was, it was the better, like, ooh, but you,
just be happy. Like, just be happy for a change.
Yeah. But, and it's something that I think all the movies do so well, which is like, you made the hard, difficult, but correct choice in that moment. And I wonder if they'll keep using Zendaya or MJ as the love interest, or if they'll go with the Gwen arc. But
I think they could, and that makes it even, harder. Actually, yeah. Like, I think that's the, I mean, Andrew knows this way better than I do, but I feel like that's what makes that all more interesting in the end.
So kind of going back, so in the comic books, when they kind of did the same thing with One More Day, they did the same thing with Doctor Strange. He did the spell, but instead of it, you know, everybody forgetting who Peter Parker was, they forgot who Spider-Man was. But the Deus Ex Machina of it, or the gotcha was, if Peter willingly revealed his identity to a person, all the memories came back. So my theory with MJ and Ned is they each have two things that they left at the end. Mm-hmm. Ned's is the handshake. So I think if they were to ever do a handshake again and do the secret handshake, Ned will remember what it is and he'll get his memories back. Mm-hmm. So for Zendaya, MJ's character, she told him, "Do not tell me you love me until we meet again." So I think if Peter does and say those words to her, that is the key that will unlock the memory. But I think what Peter will do is he'll try to win her back and try to get her back and get her comfortable again, try to kind of start things fresh again. And then when he finally says it, maybe in, you know, movie 4 or 5, whatever, that's when everything flows back and goes, "Oh my God, Peter, it's you."
Okay.
Pretty smart.
I like that. Yeah. I would dig that a lot. Let's see. What's something we didn't hit on? We talk about the beginning.
Don't like Electro. What about Willem Dafoe? Do you want to talk about Willem Dafoe?
Oh, God, oh, yeah.
You know what? Let's do it in the order of which we see each film.
Okay, yeah.
So let's start with Doc Ock, Alfred Molina. Fuck, what a great arc he has.
So good.
It's, you know, you see him as a piece of shit, him throwing cars around. That fight scene, a lot of it was spoiled through all the trailers we saw.
Yeah.
But fuck, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Just seeing him be like a lot more terrifying too. Cause like in 2, he has that presence, but in this one, he is like ripping things apart. He is not holding back. You saw that car like go through all those water barrels. Like that was not strength. You really saw besides like the clock tower scene where he throws the one arrow or whatever at Peter. Like you don't really see much more than that. And this, and even sometimes when he's talking, when he's held up in Doctor Strange's area, like he's like growling, and it's like, holy shit! Like I didn't expect this to be, you know, this kind of Doc Ock.
Yeah, he's very annoyed. It seems just everything. And the one thing that I love about the arc that he goes on is, you know, and it goes along with Green Goblin, when Peter is making all these things and all these little doodads to help Doc Ock, you're seeing how smart Peter really is, and showcased in a bigger and better way than they've done in, you know, movies beforehand. They always allude that he's super smart, but this one you really get to see him tinker with stuff and figure it out on his own. And having that arc where Doc Ock turns good, but we kind of think because he gets zapped, at least I thought, by Electro, that the thing's gonna snap back.
Yeah, I thought so too,
and it doesn't. And that's a great cop out for them. So when Doc Ock actually turns good, it's like, oh fuck, yes, this is a great turn. Because
that scene too, where Molina is just acting like that realization, like he's like, I don't have these voices. Like that scene just kind of like fills you with so much joy because there's so much like, oh my God, he doesn't hear the voices anymore. Like, you know, this is genuine. This is pure. Like he has been restored.
Yeah.
They had so little runway for him in this. Like when you really think about it and compare it to the fact that he was like the central character, one of the central characters in Spider-Man 2, like they did so much with him to reverse the arc, get him in a place where he's actually redeemed with tons of room to spare for all the other characters. Like it was so efficient. Every syllable that was given to him in terms of lines or every word that was spoken to him, it was like so purposeful to get you to the point to where, yeah, he puts the thing on the back of his head, like, that worked. Didn't feel like it was rushed. Didn't feel like it was cheated. Didn't feel like, I don't know, didn't feel unfair at all.
Seemed like it was the exact same thing that happened in Spider-Man 2. Or it's the same exact outcome that happens in Spider-Man 2, but is done differently here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But they took a whole movie and it was just for him.
Yeah.
And I actually cared more at this one. And I might have to watch Spider-Man 2 again. But I don't think I loved it as much as everybody else did. And I think that this worked better.
The fight scene in Spider-Man 2 holds up incredibly well.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see it.
But that movie itself is, it's a mid, you know, 2000s movie.
Yeah. It's a Raimi movie. Like Raimi has a specific directing style that you can kind of see from his Evil Dead and even like his other movies too. Like he has a specific style to him, but I think I agree. It's like it definitely holds up, and I think there's still some cheesiness to it with the Kirsten Dunst Tobey Maguire relationship side of it. But from the element of what Spider-Man represents, especially to the city of New York and to the people, it's still, you know, top two movie now for me for Spider-Man.
Yeah. So Alfred Molina, fantastic. It's Doc Ock, Green Goblin, which is probably the villain of it.
The Green Elf.
Of all the villains. Yeah, the Green Elf. The cool thing that they're like, Oscorp doesn't exist in this universe. And I literally gasped. I was like, oh, what does this mean?
Give me Alchemex.
Exactly. Whoa. So his arc was incredible because there were shout outs to the Raimi.
Verse, big time. With the mask and everything. Oh, my God.
Talking to him. Yeah. Oh, my God. That was incredible as well.
Yeah, that was just so satisfying. Watching him just shatter the mask and just be like, oh, okay, Norman's actually back in control. This is awesome. Maybe this isn't going to be what we think it's going to be. And, you know, of course, we all figured he was going to come back anyway. But I definitely like the way he progresses characters, being this almost senile elderly person. And then, you know, coming back. I mean, that whole scene with Peter Parker getting his spider sense and being like, that with the switch happened in personality, like Peter already saw it. He sensed it.
Yes.
And then he just shoots. And then you go, Peter, like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like just chills, just utter chills.
That was remarkable. I loved everything that they did with Green Goblin here.
It was,
Cause it was like the thing about these villains for the most part, I think like Alfred Molina and Green Goblin and Sandman is, and even Lizard to an extent, is that they're all good people. They're just desperate, and that desperation turns them evil, right? It's either the Doc Ock tentacles or Green Goblin's gas that has caused him to have that Jekyll and Hyde personality switch. And to see the Green Goblin use, you know, Osborn's meek personality to get in the room with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that was awesome.
But even having that true kind of like father-son moment with Norman and Peter, you didn't get that in the Raimi movie. Like, they always kind of hinted at it, but they actually gave like, you're like, oh, that's great, Peter. I can't believe you did it. I'm so proud of you. Like, you know, okay, this is awesome. You're giving them that false sense of security. But like, it's also just that great feeling of, man, you know, what could have been if Norman hadn't gone down the path he would have gone down? You know, they could have truly been this really good power couple of just sheer intelligence, bringing the world, making it a better place.
Yeah. And then let's get to the Amazing Spider-Man villains.
Why the hate?
You don't have to.
Hey, I'm just happy Reese Erfans reprise his role as Lizard.
Yeah.
The dinosaur?
Yeah.
I love that.
Optional imagination. These guys seemed optional to me. I thought it was pretty cool, even just the first showdown. If there's a redeeming part about Electro in this, is Spider-Man's going to check something out. He's swinging around. You see all the power lines. You're like, okay, like, see where this is going. I thought that part was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we forgot to Sandman, too. Oh, no, I guess he technically comes out with...
And I don't like Sam. Like, this is... Like, I don't even want to, like, start quantifying the things that I don't like, because it starts to sound like I don't like the movie, which I love the movie. Don't love Sandman. Like, just in general. I just think they're lame.
Well, to me, Sandman is... he thinks it's directly where he left off. Like, oh, Spider-Man, we were on good terms. Mm-hmm. Last we met. Let's help out. And then there's this, oh, shit, did you just fucking kill that guy?
Yeah.
Whoa, what the fuck is going on? And that, not with all the fucks. And that's a great turn for him as well. Cause like his motivation is just like, I just want to see my fucking daughter. And as like, you know, a dad, you could kind of sympathize.
The heart of all the characters is there. And I just think his power is lame. I just think that and I think the same thing with Electro is, or I don't know if it's the power. I think that the power just seems like it should be better. I don't know. Like, it just doesn't land for me.
Electro's always been this kind of like C level villain. They've only started making him into more of like a B/A-list character over the last like decade or so. Cause he was always kind of more like Shocker, but you know, the proto Shocker, because he started it before Shocker did. Mm-hmm. But like for me, like having Sam in there was cool, but like, yeah, he kept talking about his daughter. I'm like, I get it. You know, you want to see your daughter. I totally understand. But like, then why would you go with Electro at the end? Why would you pair up with these guys? Because they're not going to go back. Because Goblin's talking over here being gods in this universe. Why would you not be like, hey, Peter, I know you want to get me home and rehabilitate me. Hear me. Let's go.
But again, you just saw a guy just... And then also at the same exact time, you have this wizard over here talking about, yeah, no, just fucking kill him. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So,
so
you're like, yeah, no, I see his motivation, why he chooses the not great path. But I think Electro is pretty irredeemable.
Yep.
He has like this macho bullshit about him that I think he has a lot of great lines. But like his arc is just not there. Same with Lizard. And I don't think it's meant to be, because we all know that those villains in those movies were weak.
Yeah. I think if you look at it though, like if you look at Max Dillon's character in Amazing Spider-Man 2, he wasn't outcast. He wasn't liked by anybody. He was truly like this person nobody liked except Spider-Man. And then he felt betrayed by Spider-Man. So I think that kind of mentality, and now being in a universe where he's no longer slack-jawed, he's got a physical form back, he has his power that he can taste. Like, I think that adds depth, but they don't really go into it as much as they should have. Like, because all of a sudden, he's talking, like, with this cool Jamie Foxx charisma that wasn't there in Amazing Spider-Man 2, that, you know, it should have been there. Or don't bring it into this one, you know, but... Yeah.
That's it when it comes to all the villains, and it really is like, let's Scooby-Doo this shit.
We
broke it, now we have to fix it, and now we got to put it back together, and this is how it has to go down. The cool thing is if I could be honest with you, one of my favorite fights, I think it's my second favorite fight, is with him and Doctor Strange. Where we go into the mirror dimension, and everything's just folding in on itself. And again, Spider-Man is just so underpowered, and it goes with that old Stan Lee saying of like, who wins the fight? Whoever the fucking writer wants to win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when Peter's like, oh wait,
geometry. Yeah.
I love geometry. And he beats Strange with his own, with his own rule book. I really dug that whole scene.
Can I just say for a second how they slipped in that Doctor Strange is not Sorcerer Supreme anymore and just walked away with it?
Yes. How did you feel about that, Andrew? Because I know you're a big giant dork.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
But it makes sense, though, because there was a 5-year gap. Wong was there the entire time. They have to have a Sorcerer Supreme. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised they didn't bring it up in Shang-Chi. Like, you would think Wong had a bigger role in that. Like, make him say, I'm the Sorcerer Supreme there. Because I thought that was what would actually happen. Because I hadn't seen Shang-Chi yet. But they were like, no.
Oh, really?
So they were like, no.
That's why they didn't mention it there. Because nobody's going to see
that. But it's like a quick line. It's just like this quick line. I'm like, wait, what? You know, like this. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Shang-Chi is like fucking incredible.
I got to watch it. I know.
It really is, but so good. You know, it's one of my favorites.
Canadian.
I didn't want to go to the movie theaters to see just any movie, though. And like, for me, Shang-Chi looked good, but like, I was only going to go to the theater to see two movies this year. And that was
honestly, when this whole thing's over and done with, if it ever is, they should just bring those movies back. Like, just for a week. It's like, back here, experience it.
That's a because, great idea. Yeah.
Man, the ending of Shang-Chi, like the music and the sound is what fucking sells it. And when we were watching it in the living room, we're like, ah, doesn't have the same Dark Souls impact that I want it to have.
That's like Dune too, though. Like the Dune, it's great at home, but at the same time, you're not getting that full audio experience that you're supposed to be getting.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that might be part of my overall enjoyment of this movie, was that this was my first movie this whole time since before March 2020 or April 2020. Like, this, it's been a long time. I went by myself. Joe and I were recording a podcast, and I'm like, hang on a second. I think I might be able to go see Spider-Man. I think I've got an opportunity here. So I made a bad decision, stayed up until 2:30 in the morning, was at work at 8 the next day. So I'm a little tired right now. But do you guys want to go credits, end credits? Is there anything else that we've missed?
Okay, we got Matt Murdock's back in the MCU.
Oh my gosh, that was so awesome.
Fucking,
I'm a really
so
good
awesome.
Lawyer. Oh, that was just...
Dude, yeah, when he catches the brick, I'm a really good lawyer.
And Peter's just like, what?
And then, but then, like, he goes to Happy. He's like, "You're going to need a great
yeah,
for all the shit that you're going through. I thought that was funny as hell.
Oh, can we talk about the black suit for a second and how it, yeah. I know we all knew it was just it was inside out, but I love the fact that because he stained the suit, that's why he had to go inside out. I thought there would be some other kind of concept or like he had to like catch like electricity with it. No, yeah. It's just the fact that he stained it.
Yeah. He can't go out in public like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. May dying pretty substantial. That boss fight. That fight in the goddamn condo was sick as hell.
That's the best boss fight I think I've seen in a Spider-Man movie.
Swing around with MJ. I just gotta say, like she just jumps on him and she's just like I just love them so much together. Like more than any other Spider-Man Peter Parker love interest. Like this is the one, you guys. Like I just adore these two.
We gotta talk about Flash Thompson for a second.
Okay, go for it.
He's such a dick, man.
He looks at his phone. He's like he has that realization, like, oh my God, I've been a dick to Peter this entire time. Oh my God, I love Spider-Man. Hey, Pete, what's going on, best friend?
I love that shit.
So good. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, no, that's really all I can think without, because I don't want to like, go into scene for scene.
Yeah, you don't need to do that.
No. But honestly, that crescendo where they're all swinging together was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fucking beautiful. And then the thing that was spoiled for me, I saw the thumbnail where they're all landed together. I saw the thumbnail.
I actually would love to see that because it's a great sort of cinematic shot. Like cinematography is wonderful on it, but it's like a frame. Like I want that as a background on my desktop computer or something like that.
Absolutely.
I've got a grainy image, but I don't have the full image.
Right.
Yeah, we got it. We'll wait a week. There we'll put it out.
Oh
there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that image with all of them was spoiled for me. And it just goes to show spoilers do nothing. They only change, you know, it's coming. It's a different type of like the anticipation may be gone, but the power still remains because when they all just land and you see like them swinging across the new Statue of Liberty, I was like, oh fuck, this is awesome. Well, it didn't take away anything.
I did wish that there was something like a little bit more unique about each one of them that you could be like, okay, this guy needs to go do this. Like they kind of point out, we alluded to it earlier, Tobey Maguire's his webbing is different, and they talk about that, and I think that was really interesting. But I don't know. I would have loved like
does the web come out of anywhere else?
Yeah, that was so good. But like, and maybe I'm just used to watching like Avengers or X-Men or something like that, where everybody has like their own power and they can contribute kind of in a different way. Like they didn't really have that. It was just three Spider-Men.
But that's kind of the cooling though, because you had Peter cubed in a sense, because you had three super smart Peter Parkers, all with different like smaller experiences or different specialities and different things.
And I'm not even looking for anything groundbreaking, but honestly, like even if the suits were just a little bit more differentiated, like I don't think that, and maybe it's just me being a dum-dum, but I don't think that I could like quickly go like that's Toby right there, that's Andrew, that's number one.
I would have loved to see like new suits for Toby and Andrew. Right. Like if it would have been like if they're past the movie, just give us something new. Like give us like maybe like the advanced suit from Spider-Man, the video game for one of them, or maybe do like Spider-Man 2099's kind of pseudo suit for Andrew Garfield because he's supposed to be a darker. He's like, oh, I punch harder. I don't stop punching till I get enough. And I'm like, all right, anger management problems, but okay, whatever.
The final showdown with him and Green Goblin was fucking great. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm just gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. And like the fight, the great thing here is like every fight Spider-Man's been through in the whole MCU, he's gotten out by the skin of his teeth, right? Mm-hmm. This one is the first time where he is like, Green Goblin doesn't stand a fucking chance. He's kicking his ass. And it is that moment that like, you really want to do this? And then the cop out when Tobey Maguire gets stabbed. I'm like, oh, they're going to kill a Spider-Man? Don't you dare. He has MJ.
Well, and the funny thing to me was that, like, you have the scene where, like, Peter's punching the living shit out of Green Goblin. And Andrew Garfield looks at Toby, and Toby's like, eh. Like, he's just sitting back and, like, letting it go. He's like, just let him beat the piss out of him. But, of course, but apparently impaling Green Goblin is where it has to draw the line.
Well, that makes sense.
Punching his face into mush is a different story.
Yeah. That worked for me.
It was kind of like a let's see where this goes.
I guess.
That's what I got too. That's what I got out of it as well. Like, he's walking a line here. But, Andrew Garfield's holding up Toby at the end. And he's like, you're in a lot of pain, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The my back joke. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was dying. He's like, oh, I fixed that whole thing for you. He's like, oh, wow, I feel great.
That was fucking awesome.
There were a couple people in my theater that were like, I don't get that. And I'm like, I get that reference. I know what that's from.
And then last but not leastly, let's see. There's one more thing I wanted to touch on. Andrew keeps leaving the goddamn room. Where do you think Andrew's
going?
Where
is he going?
I don't know. Oh, he's taking his dog. Oh, he still hears us.
I have headphones on.
I mean, I don't know that they're wireless. This guy, very rude. Fancy. I don't know why we brought him
Stark Tech over here.
We the nerdy, you know? We're,
yeah. Downhill. Where the nerds at? We know. Yeah. The mic that I'm using right now, I'm reviewing. So,
oh, it's actually pretty good.
Sounds very good.
Actually, yeah. What type of mic is this?
It is the Neat Worker B2. I just got it yesterday. I'll show you guys. Neat sent me another mic. This is a XLR mic that I had to get a whole setup for. They also sent me this the Neat Bumblebee 2, which is USB powered that I got tonight that I had to try out and test too.
But okay, this is a Patreon show. You don't need to plug
over
so much.
Here. Holy cow.
Yeah, right? Oh, look at me. I'm so fancy.
Good stuff. As I wear, what am I wearing right now?
You're wearing an Xbox hoodie, you shill.
Hey, and it's here, me, Sean Capri. I'm from the Xbox.
And whatever. PlayStation doesn't send me shit.
We just watched the Spider-Man with the same PlayStation 3 font come back into this
game. Yeah, God bless.
Okay, Venom.
Yeah. Okay, let's just get to the end credits. If I couldn't remember the thing, it can't be that important. Thank God.
No, I wanted to see this. I wanted to see them together.
Let's start with this. The end, before we even get into the end credits, we need to just draw the line right here. Venom 1 is a bad movie. It's barely watchable, if watchable. Venom 2, there will be carnage. It might be one of the worst comic book movies I've ever seen, and it is an abomination. This franchise needs to be burned to the fucking ground.
So have you seen any Punisher movies?
Punisher movies are good. The second one was good. Second one's really good.
Yeah.
No, and wait. Also,
you're comparing a movie from 2021 that has taken, you know, you could have learned so much from like mid or an early 2000s, you know, comic book movie, but decides not to.
Like just Daredevil? Like learn from Daredevil? Is that what you're saying?
Whoa. But they're nah. So Tom Hardy is not Venom in the MCU, but you see, he's in Mexico, and the bartender is Danny Rojas from Ted Lasso. I loved that because I'm like, football is life. That's all I'm thinking in my head.
Wait, what did you just say about Tom Hardy?
Thank God he's not Venom in the MCU.
Oh, no, Ted Lasso.
He's not Venom in the MCU?
So no.
So what happens is, I'll explain the sound credit scene. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I mean,
we see him in Mexico talking. And he's just getting like a from the bartender, what has happened in this world or what this world's all about. He's like, so there's a guy in tin flying around. He's like, well, he's dead, whatever. And then when he gets taken back to his world, there's just a little piece of that symbiote.
Yeah.
On that desk. So,
oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. So he goes back. So you're saying that the little goopy is going to go take on somebody else to be Venom in the MCU. So yes. I'm like, he was literally in the end credits. What the hell are you talking about? I didn't understand. Okay. I've caught up.
So as a comic book nerd, technically that's how Carnage was born.
Right.
Because Venom gets spurred the thing, all that. And that's the little bit was actually the baby that jumps into something else. So I think it's going to be kind of interesting if part of Venom cannot. I mean, I guess in theory it can, because they base it off of Let There Be Carnage, where Cletus bit Eddie and took in his. What, man? Would you rather have Venom ejaculate out onto, you know.
Why was that the choice?
Why was that?
That says what happened.
Those are the options?
In the comic book, he like, you know, he ripped off a little bit.
Item or semen? Like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
It doesn't have to be ejaculate.
It was
all right. Well,
sperm.
This is
okay. So what you're saying? Okay, so I don't think I actually picked up on that, because all I got from that was like, cool, Venom is coming. Yeah. They'll fight, but you're right. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be Tom Hardy. Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like, bye bye. Like, that's actually great. Man, I was just excited. Like, Venom shows up here, and that it like perhaps he'll get his own moment instead of being like the tail end of the third movie or whatever else they've done with him. Yeah. Dude, even like you thought the Lethal Protector was a bad name. Like, dude, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. good.
And I'm guessing too that as a remembrance to Spider-Man or something like that, he'll put that logo on his body now. So he officially will become full Venom in the third movie.
So here's what I'm thinking. Venom in the Venom 2 after credits, the reason why I watched that fucking abomination in the first place. Venom sees Peter Parker.
And licks him.
Yeah, he wants that. I don't know if maybe the symbiote has forgotten about Peter because of the spell, or maybe it doesn't affect him because it's a symbiote. But I think it's going to search for Peter.
I think it will. So there's a theory I was watching today. So because half of my day was I watched all the spoiler casts and stuff like that for No Way Home, because I'm just, you know, I'm completely just engrossed with everything. But one of the theories is that Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man symbiote suit, because it came from outer space as well, was part of the hive mind too. And that's how they know Peter Parker, because it's already touched him in a different universe. That's why he saw Peter Parker in the spider suit and went, I want you.
Mm.
Because he said, like, we go through multiple universes and everything. Because, of course, I'm really excited for Venom just because if they're going to do Noel in the next one, yes, please, because Noel's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But that's what I think, is because if they see it, and that might be a cool kind of callback to maybe bring Toby in for a fourth movie, if that's even possible, because, okay, or just even a scene where they show him ripping off the suit again.
You're getting too outlandish. I'm just gonna call it out right now, just a little too far, just reel it back in. What I think, if I can, and you guys call me out on my ignorance here, I think Tom Holland just like accidentally finds this little goopy goop and it's the black suit.
I think it could very well be that, because he's at his darkest point at the end of this movie, because he's alone now, he doesn't have anybody to really fall back on.
Yeah,
what better way than have the symbiote be like, I'll be your friend.
Yes, yep. And then he comes across, like, I don't know, it seems like the journalism thing might be part of the light. Like, it seems like he hasn't really been doing that yet. He hasn't embarked on that part of his occupation yet.
Because he's been doing Stark stuff and being like Stark's go boy.
And that's the thing that I like, what I love about this movie is it kind of, or these set of films, it's like the proto Peter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're getting the backstory of Peter. Like, the one thing that I liked about Spider-Man 2018 game is the backstory that they allude that they've been doing this for a while. MJ and him have been a unit for a while, on and off again. Like, we got those stories for him, and now we're seeing him on his new hero journey as the Peter that we've seen in, you know, the Raimi or the Amazing. So that's what I love, how it leaves off is how we know Peter Parker to be. And what excites me is, like, how is he going to run into the Young Avengers? Because, like, to me, that's what this is all cooking up into. Like, you know, things like, you know, Kate Bishop and Yelena and all that.
Oh,
like,
that's cool.
They're bound to run into each other.
Did you see the Haley Steinfeld had a
musical?
The Rogers musical thing, yes. But Haley Steinfeld also had a interview on The Tonight Show. And she and Jimmy Fallon kept asking about Spider-Man, and she wanted to talk about it. She said, I can't talk about it, because I'm wondering if in Hawkeye
tomorrow or next week,
he pops up.
Do I have to start watching Hawkeye? God,
dude, wait. Hawkeye's fucking good.
No, I know, it's just more. It's just stuff.
Spoilers for Hawkeye, real quick. But
whoa, only for Spider-Man.
No. I'm just saying, because
I'm not ready for spoilers.
It's a No Way Home thing.
Okay, fine. Because I know where you're going to tie this into.
Yeah, because everybody knew Daredevil was coming now because Kingpin showed up in Hawkeye. So people were like, oh my God, if Kingpin's here, that means Daredevil's coming that same week. And what do we get?
Spider-Man. Oh, jeez.
There you go. I caught you up in 2 minutes.
Literally asking to not be caught up on Hawkeye.
But
we can assume.
Shits and giggles, guys.
Sean, you Xbox shill, I swear.
Hang on, let me go eat my Xbox cookies that they sent me.
Really? Did they really send you Xbox cookies?
Yeah, they're little cookies. Yeah,
they taste like disappointment.
A little,
they're free, just like all their own games are.
They taste like the best value in gaming.
bland.
They don't taste like $70 games.
They taste like Garrett Bland. Is that what you said?
No, just bland. Oh, just bland.
It tastes like Garrett Bland.
Doctor. Tastes like doctor.
That's right. He's a medical doctor, you son of a bitch.
This place took a turn.
This is a house of living powers. At the end.
This is where the house of ideas.
I actually want it to be the black suit. Is that what it's called? The black? Am I being dumb? Yeah. Is this called the black suit?
It's black suit or the symbiote suit. It is what I mean.
I think that'd be really good. You get a nice do over on that. Eddie Brock can be. They recast Eddie Brock. Make that. I don't even know who. Make him nice and cool. Gigantic. Like just
no dancing.
No dancing.
No goth clubs.
None of that. No emo moments.
No, I will. Oh, okay. No. So what if Flash gets the suit first? Because Flash loves Spider-Man. So let's put this in. Let's completely speculate for a second. Because Flash still loves Spider-Man at the end of the movie. We're all assuming that because he just doesn't know Peter Parker exists. He still doesn't know Spider-Man exists.
I like this.
So let's say Danny Rojas, you know, now he's a well-known soccer player and he's coming to New York to do on a tour or whatever. He gets sucked out as a husk or whatever because of what something else that happened, the Venom symbiotes do to people. And it finds Flash. And because Flash is, you know, this giant, he now has the spider, he can do spider powers now. He becomes Venom of that universe. He runs around. But as soon as it comes in contact with the true Spider-Man, gone. Sucks off of him.
He sucks his own Venom.
Yeah.
Dude, I was thinking the same that Eminem song. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we think Venom's the next villain? Or is the villain we're building up to?
I think it's the villain we're building up to. Because I think if you do that, it's a Thanos type thing for Avengers, where you see that. I would honestly like it where in the next two movies, every after credit scene is the progress of the symbiote getting to New York.
Can you do a Maximum Carnage?
You could. I mean, you could also do a what the hell was the last one that the Carnage event they did where he came back and was trying to revive people. I can't remember what the hell it was. It was like two years ago.
Carnage MD.
No.
Doogie Carnage.
Neil Patrick Harris.
It's this whole thing where like they have like these codexes and shit like that in their back of their necks and like
how are we on the same brain length there? Like what the heck? It's so random.
It's never lupus.
Okay, that's House.
Exactly. Okay, well, if nothing else, I got that clarified for me. Oh, Tom Hardy can be Thanos back to his world and like just stay there, just stay in Sony land. Please. Let's get a little Venom.
Let the dum-dums like Angie Semichek watch this movie so we don't have to anymore.
Exactly. Look, it's not a great movie, but it's just a stupid popcorn flick. Like that's what I don't need everything to be a masterpiece, okay? Not everything has to be Ghostbusters Afterlife, okay? Jesus.
You know what? Next one, Spider-Man fights Spawn. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Hey, he fought Batman already.
See?
What's the Batman crossover happening right now? Well, who's Batman sitting there with? What the heck was that?
Nobody. He doesn't fucking need anybody.
No, man. It's like, I don't know, like Ninja Turtles or something. I don't know.
That's the next movie like I'm going to risk it for the biscuit for.
Batman. That new trailer that they showed in the movie. Oh, my God. Yes.
God damn, dude.
Can I say that the Doctor Strange like effects, they did it better in Inception. And it should be better in the MCU. They should have the dollars and the effects that it should be like mind-blowing. I still look at that and go, Leo did it better.
Oh, I think that was because I think those were the last ones because they were talking about 2 weeks ago. They were still working on the visual effects. So I'm wondering if those were the last effects. They were like, I felt the same with the original
Doctor Strange. I kind of just always felt that. And when you guys said it was your favorite scene, I didn't want to poop on it, but I will now since it's been like 20 minutes later.
I loved it.
Shit on me, Sean. It's fine.
No, I like the way that like Peter like took it all down. Like I thought that was great, but I sort of felt like I'm not wowed by the effects.
You know
like,
what,
Chris, I felt
like you know what Chris Nolan can make?
Space.
A cohesive fucking story that makes sense that we don't need to guess the end of. If he was a good storyteller, he could, you know, maybe write a fucking ending.
The British soldiers were saved. They got on the boats and they went home. They were fine. Everything worked out great.
Are we talking about Gerald Kirk again? I hate that movie.
he's one of my favorites. Anyway.
Same.
Last but not leastly, can we talk about the multiverse of Madness?
Can I bring up one thing real quick? And I just one thing I hated that they left out or they kind of let the No, I just, it was the third wheel dynamic from Ned in the beginning, in the first third of that movie, because Ned's a third wheel the entire time. They keep talking about, you know, we're going to go live together. And Ned's like, and me. And then they kind of just drop everything.
Hands on top of each other.
Yeah. And then Ned's all of a sudden got, you know, like magical powers that everybody just forgets that Ned is this third wheel. And I'm like, I'm okay with it. Cause like, you know, it's just, it's a stupid little like side story that kind of ends itself. But I'm just kind of like, I wish it would have, they could have just went a little bit further with it. Or Manji being like, look, I want you and me to live together. I don't want a, you know, Lego boy back here to kind of ruin the fun we could have, if you know what I'm throwing down.
Listen, me and MJ are trying to get our fuck on.
Makes you wonder, listening though. In on our conversation, happy with your sleep apnea, you man, sitting there pervert. In the chair. Oh my
god! Hey, gosh. Man, I felt seen in the first time
I thought of you. Yeah, I did too.
I felt so seen.
I've slept next to that.
This is the representation I'm looking for in a movie. This is it, guys.
It makes you wonder, though.
Sleep apnea machines in your goddamn films.
Did Peter and MJ have sex on top of the school?
I mean, I would hope.
They're kids. You're sick.
No. Listen.
They're 17. Listen, Peter's got an apartment and a job, apparently.
My point. Nope. It's not making it better.
Listen, in real life, they're in their mid-20s.
Heavy petting. Yeah.
So.
Have you seen Zendaya? No.
I know. Gorgeous. My best friend is so thirsty for Tom Holland. She's like, but I feel so guilty. I feel so guilty because in the movies he's trying to portray a teenager.
But have her watch Uncharted then. That was the last trailer that came up.
She is so excited for it.
I can't know.
Fucking get over yourself, all right? I'm in for it. I'm ready for it.
Okay. Pony? Okay. You had one more thing, Joe? Or were we done?
Oh, I'm sorry. I love you. I love you, Joe. Sorry.
You're all right. Multiverse of Madness.
Oh.
This one's just for Andrew.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you didn't see it? That was the second.
That was the end. Yeah.
Credit scene.
Yeah. You didn't say till the end?
I got to the end. I just don't know this multiverse. I don't know anything about multiverses.
All right, go for it, Andrew.
You know frighteningly little about the multiverse.
Okay, so did you watch Loki?
Yes.
Okay, so essentially that whole thing is what's happening now. They're just trying to hammer back in. So I'm fairly sure.
Evil Strange shows up? Is that Kang?
That is from the what if. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I cool. jumped out. Like, I oh, was like, cool. that was the... I'm pretty sure we're going to see Loki in this too, and I think we might see multiple iterations of Loki in this.
Apparently, you are going to see a lot of cameos in this movie.
What about that Conqueror guy?
Kang? Well, he's going to be the big bad. He's going to be the Thanos that's leading up to everything. Yeah. We saw one version of him. Yep. We're going to see the Conqueror version. Well, no, he's showing up in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Oh, okay. That was my question. Is it the Doctor Strange movie that he's going to be like the big bad? Or
I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in an after credits scene to push it along.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know at this point. Because, I mean, we've already seen him die once, and we could probably see the iterations of him die in every single version until we get to the true Kang the Conqueror, where he's like, I've been killed 700 times. You can't defeat me, Avengers.
Does Silver Surfer have anything to do with him?
Yes and no, because he is technically a Richards. That's a future version of he's a future bloodline person of the Richards family. So
a Fantastic Four, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
because cool. he's from the future. He's from the Richards line.
Man,
and
so
then
cool.
he gets corrupt, and then at one point he pretends he's Tony Stark, and then at another point, like there's so much Kang stuff to go on.
We should probably have like a whole other like comics.
Oh thing. Yeah,
we should have a comics podcast.
Hey Andrew, we're here to ask you questions, and for us to smile and nod.
Exactly.
I'm ready for it. I'm really excited because
the comics podcast we're starting is going to be called
excuse me, this is actually two issues behind. You're actually looking at issue 244 and
worst comics podcast ever.
I know. I like the multiverse. I love the Multiverse Madness trailer. I wasn't expecting it, to be honest. I was hoping part of me was like, I want to see more Spider-Man. I was hoping to see a full representation of the suit. But to get that trailer and kind of see everything we saw with it, like the dark Doctor Strange, I'm kind of curious to see, like, is he there to help out? Because he was supposed to be watching over the other pocket universe. Or is it something else that's at play?
And that's a cool thing. He's supposed to watch over
Michael B. Jordan, Killmonger, and Ultron.
So...
Do we get Michael B. Jordan back as Killmonger? Super Killmonger?
Yeah.
Super Saiyan Killmonger? Yeah.
Are we going to get, what's his face back? Ultron?
That'd be kind of cool to see that.
Ultron! Well, yes.
And to top it all off, Sam Raimi's directing the movie. So we're going to get a lot of those Evil Dead tropes like we got from Spider-Man 1 and 2, but amped up to 11.
I'm amped.
Spider-Man versus the Necronomicon.
Well, I think we're going to see Blade in it, I think.
Klaatu.
Yes.
Varata.
We're all tired.
Yeah, I know.
It's
we're
time
all,
to go.
It's 11:30.
How many Spider-Man do you give this film? I give it 10 Spider-Mans out of 10.
I give it 8 squirts out of 10 squirts.
I give it 15 thwips out of 10.
Yeah, okay.
It's the best Spider-Man movie ever. I mean, I liked Into the Spider-Verse, don't get me wrong. But I think the payoff in this is, for me, long term has a better payoff than Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, I think the opposite. I think in the long term, this one doesn't age as well. I think there's a lot of like shock factor moments that get you feeling.
This one, you need an incredible amount of context to get those payoffs, where Into the Spider-Verse is, you can literally
just watch
walk
it.
Into it and be like, "Well, this is
self-contained."
I don't disagree with you, and I hope that the Into this in, or Across the Spider-Verse part one and two, or however many parts it is, does the same thing. But I mean, just for me as the longtime movie fan, I guess for me that's why it has a bigger impact than Into Spider-Verse. And don't get me wrong, I loved Into the Spider-Verse. I love the iterations, and I'm really hoping to God we see Ben Reilly's Spider-Man the next one, please, Lord. but that's just me.
Alrighty. Well, patrons, I hope you enjoyed this little episode. It's been real.
We should do it again sometime.
We should. We should. Do you guys want to pimp out your stuff?
It's Matrices! Just no.
All right. You know where to find Sean.
Oh, Andrew. And people don't know Andrew around here all that much. So.
No.
That's right.
No.
Andrew's a piece of shit.
No, apparently I'm in
Astrobot.
Yeah, that's it. I'm known in the PS for Trophy Room Circle as the person who hates Astrobot. Yeah. But no, you can find me over at We The Nerdy, WeTheNerdy.com, Twitter at WeTheNerdy. You can also find me at AceEmacek on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok as well. I'm doing all that fun stuff.
Sean looks so cute.
I look like a penguin. I turned myself into a penguin.
Oh, that's a line we should keep forever. I wish you could like meme that. Like, I'm going to turn myself into a penguin.
I'm Pickle Rick. Okay.
You should start the Xbox Drive next week with "I turned myself into a pig."
Bye, patrons.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.